Welcome, investors, to the Absolute Return Podcast, your source for stock market analysis, global macro musings, and hedge fund investment strategies. Your hosts, Julian Klimochko and Michael Kesslering, aim to bring you the knowledge and analysis you need to become a more intelligent and wealthier investor. This episode is brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at AccelerateShares.com.
Welcome, podcast listeners, to the Absolute Return Podcast. I'm your host, Julian Klimochko. I'm joined by my co-host, Mike Kesslering. And on today's podcast, we welcome special guest, Kurt Workman, co-founder and CEO at Owlet Baby Care, the connected nursery ecosystem that delivers data-driven technology to modern parenting. Owlet recently announced a going public transaction through SPAC Sandbridge Acquisition in a $1.1 billion deal. On the podcast, Kurt discusses co-founding a startup right out of university and participating in a tech accelerator, the advantages of running a startup from Utah, the dynamic of leading a mission-driven company, key insights into Owlet's business combination with SPAC Sandbridge Acquisition, Owlet's key growth initiatives, and more. So with no further ado, here's our discussion with Kurt Workman, co-founder and CEO at Owlet Baby Care. Kurt, welcome to the Absolute Return Podcast. Awesome that you're here to talk about a number of things. Owlet Baby Care, a lot going on there. You guys are going public through a SPAC. Super exciting times at the business, and I'm sure you're just running around like a chicken with its head cut off trying to handle all of this. So appreciate the time that you're giving to us and our listeners today. I wanted to start off by getting a bit into your background and the background of the company. It's super interesting. I find that you co-founded Owlet basically right out of university, right? Could you tell us like a little bit about that experience? You participated in a tech incubator, Techstars, launching your first product, taking on venture capital. Can you really walk us through the early stages of this entrepreneurial journey that you went on with basically not a lot of experience prior to that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it was like drinking from a fire hose and still kind of is a little bit. I think the best advice I ever got was just go out and hire the very best people from the top companies and don't let your lack of experience keep you from being really confident about the opportunity. You know, I think luckily Owlet's such a mission-driven company that, you know, we've always been able to recruit above our weight and we've seen some of the best leaders across technology, healthcare, and consumer brands like Amazon and Google and Philips and United Healthcare and Nike and some of the top leaders from those companies coming in to help, you know, change parenting and influence pediatric health. So the mission was so helpful in those early days to recruit above our weight. And that was the best piece of advice I got from a CEO who said, you know, don't lose confidence. Go out and share the mission and recruit really great talent, which is what we did. And, you know, I think that the other thing we did that was maybe better than anyone was just blending everything we had learned about customer-centric lean startup with a very high quality bar. You know, when we were at Techstars, that probably still to this day was one of the hardest things we've gone through. We started manufacturing units, you know, we didn't have a lot of cash. And we realized that there were some quality issues with the experience. And so rather than ship the units and kind of, you know, get the revenue, we decided to throw away 2,000 units, redesign part of the system.
How much did that cost? Throwing those ones out.
Yeah, 2,000 units probably at that early volume was maybe $200 a unit. So
still quite a bit for a young company. That's a lot.
Yeah, it was like all the money we had. But it turned out to be the very best decision we ever made because we refocused. It created a culture of quality in the business. And when we did launch at the end of 2015, we had a great net promoter score. We'd done a year of user testing. We just raised a new round of capital. And when we figured out the right way to educate people about the product, the business took off and we didn't have to worry about, you know, we had a lot of confidence in that first product. So
you really focus on being a mission-driven company. And you don't see that often in corporations, capitalism these days. Where did the initial idea come from for Owlet, you know, being young guys or young individuals right out of college? How did the idea and the business really get started?
Yeah, I think becoming a parent is the biggest change we go through in life, right? You know, overnight you take on all of these new roles. You're the doctor, you're the nurse, you're the dietitian. And I remember leaving the hospital with my son, Ashton, for the first time. And you walk outside of those hospital doors and you realize, like, wow, it's all up to me. Like, I am the caregiver here. And, you know, the sock is the anchor product of our ecosystem. And it started because my wife and I were concerned that our children might have a cardiac issue that she has. She's had three heart surgeries, and they didn't know that she had that issue when she was born. And so there's this miraculous story. Her mom ended up rushing her back to the hospital to do emergency heart surgery that saved her life. And I just remember wondering, like, how would I know if baby was okay? So we were visiting, we'd been married for several years. We were visiting her cardiologist to see if it was safe to, you know, get pregnant. And they just talked about all the extra checkups we were going to have to do. And I think every parent just wants to be there when our kids need us the most. And that was kind of the driving force for us to start the business.
So you get it started. You have this product idea and really a dream of where you want to get to and a business plan. At what point did you realize that Owlet was, you know, a real company, a real business, and that you would pursue it on a full-time basis?
It's, you know, the figuring out that it's a real company, I think, is such a gradual approach. But as an entrepreneur, that the pursuit and like the dedication came really early on. I remember quitting my job and like just feeling really passionate about building this company. You know, the feeling that this is like a real company didn't come until a few years into it, I think. You know, with our prototypes, we were using at home with my son Ash, and I remember my wife saying, like, maybe you should just give the money back because there were so many issues. And when our second was born, my daughter Summer, I remember it was like a couple of weeks after she was born, my wife just turned to me randomly. She's like, I love this thing. She's like, I can't imagine not having an Owlet. And that was the moment for me where I'm like, okay, it's real. Even though we'd been working on it for years at that point. You know, separately, I think the most amazing moment in our journey was when we heard back. It was actually a beta tester who reached out to us and said that because they had the smart sock, they were able to find out you know that there was an issue, and so they took their baby in and they did a sleep study and found out that their child had severe apnea, life-threatening apnea, and their daughter was on oxygen for a few years after that, oxygen therapy because of the condition that she had. And that was real, because what we really wanted was that, right? We just want parents to have more information and peace of mind and feel empowered to give the best possible care for their child at home. And that was one of the coolest moments. And now we've had, you know, so many of those since, but it's just so memorable, that first story.
And now a word from our sponsor, Accelerate, one of Canada's most innovative and fastest growing alternative investment solution providers, with a suite of institutional caliber alternative ETFs for investors seeking diversification and long-term performance. The Accelerate Arbitrage Fund, symbol ARB on the TSX, is the world's first SPAC-focused ETF with a diversified portfolio of SPAC and merger arbitrage opportunities in an easy-to-use, low-cost ETF. The Accelerate Arbitrage Fund ETF trades under the symbol ARB on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
When you talk about the stories that motivate you, I could absolutely see how there would be no shortage of that within your focus at Owlet. One thing that I was very curious about was your decision to be based in Utah. Obviously, there's positives and negatives about being in a non, I guess, tech hub, right? You're not in San Francisco. You're not in New York. We can relate to that as well, being based in Canada, in Calgary, to be exact. But what have you found in terms of recruiting and the overall positives and negatives of being located in Utah?
You know what? It's actually been amazing. We have really great talent. Utah has a great lifestyle for employees, and it's one of the fastest growing economies in the country and fastest growing population on a percentage basis in the country. Utah had 25 billion in exits last year. It's growing. It's exponentially growing from a tech perspective. On top of that, you have the skiing, the hiking, the mountain biking, plus this new strong, they call it Silicon Slopes. We call it Silicon Slopes, this new strong startup community. And, you know, COVID has really accelerated our remote workforce. And so we now have executives in the Northeast and in the New York area, the Northwest, the Bay Area. And, you know, we're getting broader leadership talent now that we're moving more remote. And that, I think, will give us the best of both worlds.
So I want to get into the big news. Obviously, congratulations on the recently announced business combination with special purpose acquisition company SandBridge Acquisition, valuing Owlet at $1.1 billion enterprise value. Must feel nice to get to that really big milestone in the company's development. We were wondering, and we're always interested in how these things come to fruition, what's going on behind the scenes. How did this deal come about? Did you specifically set out to go public, or was it more so due to inbound interest where you could raise a bunch of capital and really step up the company's growth initiatives?
Owlet has a really strong core growth business that's growing 50% year over year. We've been extremely capital efficient. We hit profitability in the back half of 2020, and you know, had just strong profitable growth ahead of us. And so we were actually in process of getting the company ready to go public when the SPAC approached us. And there were three things we really liked about it. We felt like it combined the best of both worlds. One, you know, we had getting value add fund into the company with Ken and Domenico being brand experts. And brand really matters in the parenting category. And so they have just deep experience in brand. The second piece that they brought was just international expansion, you know, deep expertise there. The founder of JD.com is a senior advisor in their fund and an investor in their other deals. And so we really liked that we were getting that expertise as well, because there's four times as many babies born in Asia as the United States, and more babies born in Europe than the United States. So we know that's a big opportunity, but we've just been focused on the States up until this point. So we liked that value add. You know, there's long-term shareholder alignment with an 18-month lockup and a 50% earnout on the shares, and so that kind of spoke to us. So we felt like we were getting sort of the benefits of a growth equity round with the opportunity to increase our visibility and ability to attract great talent and partnerships by being a public company. And so we really liked that combination. We were marching down the IPO route anyways, and decided that this was a good fit for us.
And in terms of the transaction itself, I mean, you talk about the good fit in some of the growth areas that you're looking at, and you do have the PIPE financing, the cash in trust from the SPAC, assuming that you know, trading at a premium, that it will, you know, maintain that level of trust value. When you look at the cash that you could have on your balance sheet post-transaction, looking at potentially over $300 million. What else are you looking at for the uses of capital outside of some of that international expansion?
You know, we've been so efficient with our marketing spend. Our cost per acquisition is less than $30 today. And you know, if you look at some of these clusters in the United States, like Nebraska and Louisiana and Utah, they're, you know, 20% of babies born use an outlet or part of the ecosystem. And if you were to extrapolate just that penetration across the United States, that alone is over $1 billion in revenue. So, you know, first priority is we want to get more aggressive. We see a huge opportunity to just deepen penetration with our existing product suite. And then we've talked a little bit about integrating the nursery into one connected ecosystem. This is a very big, there's 48 million parents with children between the ages of 0 and 4, and they spend $12,000 per year on those children. So it's a very big $300 billion market, but it's very disjointed. It's a very fragmented market. And specifically when it comes to technology, you know, we benefit from these technology ecosystems in every other market. And it's parents that kind of suffer from that lack of consolidation. So we want to integrate the nursery into one connected ecosystem. And then, you know, we're leveraging the data to drive data-driven telehealth. You know, parents engage with our ecosystem, with the app, 8 times per day. With the data that we collect, we know that there are certain things we can screen for and spot. And so we feel like we're in the perfect position to tee up a telehealth consult and help avoid some of those just-in-case visits, or help screen for some of the biggest issues in the future that children are at risk for. So that's where we want to continue to invest. And then you mentioned, yeah, international, there's 4 times as many babies born in Asia than the United States. And so really any one of those areas can can drastically increase growth. There's just so many ways to win in this category that's been unserved for far too long.
So Kurt, you mentioned a number of interesting growth initiatives, whether it be international, this telehealth opportunity on the data side, obviously the TAM, total addressable market, on this side of the business is pretty massive. What are you looking to build Owlet into, say, in the next 5-10 years? Where do you guys want to be?
We want to be the digital health platform for parenting. You know, similar to Livongo for patient monitoring or Peloton for at-home fitness, but for parenting. And it's just this really large market that suffered from that lack of technology cohesion that, you know, Owlet can bring.
So I want to get into some of the fundamentals, some of the unit economics. You mentioned very efficient with your marketing, customer acquisition cost, relatively low, currently around $30, I believe. But on the other side, on the flip side, the customer lifetime value, around $550. So certainly spending $30 to get a customer worth $550 is pretty exceptional. However, you view those unit economics expanding even more, as shown in your investor presentation. How are you going to accomplish this, i.e., you know, make those customers worth even more and perhaps spend even less, become more efficient?
Yeah, so our marketing spend will go up. I'll talk about that. But, you know, we are expanding our services offering with, you know, DreamLab is a big, exciting new area for Owlet that we just recently launched, which is really about bringing experts to the home and making that the kind of these experts you get for fertility coaching and labor coaching and lactation consulting and sleep training and, you know, telehealth, making those readily available to parents at home at a fraction of the cost. And we've successfully done that with DreamLab. 91% of parents sleep through the night in 7 days. And so we want to expand that. We want to integrate telehealth into the platform. That's all coming very soon. We have 2 new products that are launching this year. And we have significant owned media because parents are engaging with the app 8 times per day. So to be able to leverage owned media to upsell, you know, these other services, it makes a lot of sense and doesn't cost the business any additional advertising dollars. In addition to that, we mentioned 20% of babies in Nebraska and Louisiana have an Owlet. And it's not paid acquisition that's driving that. It's a brand strategy. One of the reasons we're excited to partner with Sandbridge. And if you extrapolate that alone, like we talked about, will drive over $1 billion in revenue. So there's multiple ways to continue to make the business more efficient. I do think we'll actually get more aggressive in our CAC. There are, you know, there's upside to growth opportunities that you know, we've just been so efficient with our spend. I think specifically building awareness and partnerships on the coast, because we're winning in middle America, and so we actually need to expand to the coast, which is unique, especially with a $300 product. And so that's kind of how we think about it. But there's tremendous efficiency that we think we're at the sort of this tipping point or inflection point as a business to be able to drive that.
And now a word from our sponsor, Accelerate, one of Canada's most innovative and fastest growing alternative investment solution providers. With a suite of institutional caliber alternative ETFs for investors seeking diversification and long-term performance, the Accelerate One Choice Alternative Portfolio ETF, symbol 1C, ONEC on the TSX, is Canada's first alternatives portfolio solution, providing exposure to 6 alternative asset classes, 10 alternative strategies in one easy-to-use, one-choice ETF that charges a management fee of just 0.2%. The Accelerate One Choice Alternative Portfolio ETF trades under the symbol 1C, ONEC on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
So when we're zooming out a bit, as obviously the unit economics of your business are fantastic, what I found really interesting was one of the slides in your deck, which showed the life cycle of costs from infancy into the later years as well, but really showing as a system how much children do cost the system. And so any sort of efficiencies that we can have with parents is really just beneficial to the entire system. Can you speak to that a little bit on the overall cost savings to the system in the US that can be gained from using technology such as this?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple different angles there. I think what Alec's done with the SOC and Cam and DreamLab are pretty incredible. We've consumerized healthcare, right? And care for children. It costs $1,000 to hire a night nanny or a sleep consultant to come in and help sleep train your baby. DreamLab is $99. It's literally a fraction of the cost. And we're just getting started there. Telehealth is another big opportunity. There's 3.4 million ER visits for infants alone. That's like basically one for every child born. And the vast majority of those babies that go into the ER, they're not getting admitted to the hospital. They're getting sent home with Tylenol and Motrin. And there's so many just in case visits in this period of life. There's 92 million healthcare visits in the first 4 years alone. The majority of those being just in case visits, just making sure baby's okay. And, we're really excited about the ability to build an ecosystem at home that can help parents and doctors close the loop at home, bridge the gap, and save money. The telehealth consult is half the cost of an urgent care visit, and it's about a tenth the cost of an ER visit. And so those are just two of the ways we're planning on driving that. We've partnered with 24 foundations across the United States to try and make our technology more accessible to families. And we partner with those groups for families who can't afford, the SOC or the ecosystem. And we match them 3-for-1 to try and help families who can't afford get access. There's also registry is another angle to that as well, which I know isn't what you're asking, but we think a lot about accessibility too with our platform.
Clearly a lot of future opportunities for Owlet, massive total addressable market with respect to baby care, parenting, et cetera. Now, with this large economic opportunity, I assume it's a highly competitive space. How does Owlet differentiate itself and its products within this marketplace?
We think about that in a few different areas. The first is the ecosystem. So, it makes it harder for customers to switch platforms as we continue to build out our ecosystem. We've seen that with our existing integrations, and we know we'll continue to see that as we expand. And in the data we collect, Owlet has the largest data set of infant health and sleep that's ever been collected. And not only does that allow us to launch new features and just from the data itself, it also makes it harder for competitors to match value. You might be able to create some hardware, but because we use machine learning and AI to drive most of our algorithms and feature development, you actually need the data set too in order to match value. And so the data becomes a big component to that. We have a 9-year head start in our technology stack, everything from flexible circuitry, low power pulse oximetry, combining multiple sensors to reduce false alarms and improve the signal to noise ratio, and then the machine learning algorithms. So there's 24 plus issued patents in that stack. We're the number one brand in the top 3 metrics. And again, brand really matters in this category to parents when it comes to what ecosystem you're going to use for your child. Brand, quality, safety, those all make a huge difference. And so, I think that's also a moat. And we submitted to FDA at the end of 2019. We're investing heavily in clinical research, in medical devices to continue to improve our offering to families. And I think that also becomes a competitive moat for Owlet.
A lot going on. SandBridge acquisition, really exciting deal, going public via SPAC, $1.1 billion enterprise value. If you could really wrap things up for investors in a sort of elevator pitch, 90 seconds or less, could you summarize the investment case for Owlet as it completes this going public transaction? Why should investors want to pay attention to this story?
Yeah, parents spend $12,000 per year on their children, and that's going up every single year. It's a very fragmented and disjointed market that's traditionally been 10 years behind in technology. And so Owlet's consolidating the smart nursery from conception to kindergarten, and we're leveraging our incredibly large data set to integrate telehealth and healthcare at home. And so there's not only an incredibly strong growth story, but we believe a big re-rating opportunity as we integrate some of these pieces over the next 12 months, frankly. And we're sitting at this intersection of the consumerization of healthcare and medtech, like we've seen with Livongo, and the digitization of professional services at home, similar to Peloton. And how it's just this incredible blend of the two, but for parenting in this category that's been unserved for too long. It's an $80 billion opportunity.
Great. So I'm sure investors will be interested in looking into this story, plus consumers. I mean, the value proposition to parents is clearly there. So say if you're a parent with a young one at home, or even an investor interested in learning more, where's the best resources for them?
Yeah, you can go to owletcare.com and check out all of our products. We should be standing up an investors page here soon too for investors to go take a look. So thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kurt. We wish you all the best. We'll be cheering you on from the sidelines. We are long the SandBridge acquisition stock, so looking forward to seeing how things progress here. And yeah, you got your work cut out for you. So we'll let you get back to it. And thank you for your time today.
Yeah, awesome.
All right. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the Absolute Return Podcast. This episode was brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at accelerateshares.com. The views expressed in this podcast are the personal views of the participants and do not reflect the views of Accelerate. No aspect of this podcast constitutes investment, legal, or tax advice. Opinions expressed in this podcast should not be viewed as a recommendation or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any securities or investment strategies. The information and opinions in this podcast are based on current market conditions and may fluctuate and change in the future. No representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made on behalf of Accelerate as to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Accelerate does not accept any liability for any direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage suffered by any person as a result of relying on all or any part of this podcast, and any liability is expressly disclaimed.